Let's look to the Lord. Father, this morning we come to you. We come to our Father, the Father of our spirits. In the name of Jesus, the Shepherd of our souls. We surrender ourselves, Lord. Our spirit, our soul, our body, to the ministry of your word, so that on that day we may be presented blameless before thee. Nothing can cleanse us but the word of God. Nothing can cleanse us but the blood of Jesus. And no one can cleanse us but the Spirit of God. Speak to us, all of us here, listening from around the world online, wherever your children are. I speak first rest. Because you said, be still and know that I am God. So as an act of faith, we choose to cast all of our burdens onto you. Because you care for us. Come to me, is what you said. All who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. By faith we receive it, so that we can hear you. Come at this time into thy hands, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. All the days we are setting the platform for the coming year. I want to finish this year so that we are ready for the year that is coming. There are only 4 days important in human history. The first day was when the Lord God became man and dwelt among us. God the Father declares that day as, today I have begotten you. And that's what this season is all about, Christmas. The second day is when he died on the cross for my sin and your sin. He became God's offering, the atonement. The third day is when he rose from the dead, breaking the power of sin, the power of death, and the hold of the devil over mankind. And the fourth day is called the day of the Lord, the day we will stand before him. And everything that happens in the church is preparing for that day. That day is also called the day of eternal judgment, meaning it cannot be reversed. It cannot be reversed. So all of life post salvation is preparing for that day. It matters because perspective matters. How you look at life, how you look at time, how you spend time, how you redeem time, because the clock doesn't stop for anybody. It just keep on ticking. The days pass by. Whether we like it or not, either time works against us or we redeem time and make it work for us. So perspective matters. I'm setting the platform first. In 2 Timothy, for me personally, this second after Christ Jesus, for me, this is the greatest man. For me personally, Apostle Paul. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give it to me on that day. That's the day we are looking forward to. Not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. In Acts 20:24, he will say, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 12:1 will say, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. All three verses is one common word. It's the word race. How do we see life? Do you see life as a race? The Father has put all his children into a race. Do you see, therefore, the battle is worth fighting for? Like I said last Sunday, we hear and we preach, and we should preach the cross. We preach Christ crucified. The cross is pointing to a crown. Battles are not just to be fought. They have to be won. Races are not just to be run. They have to be finished. Faith is not just to be spoken. It has to be kept till the end. And to those who win, that is the word in the book of Revelation, repeated 8 times, those who overcome. And even to the worst of the 7 churches, the most compromised church, even to them, the Lord promises in Revelation 3:21, he who overcomes, to him who overcomes, I will, not I may, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. These are not small promises. These are incredible, eternal promises. And the church is to be prepared for this race and should be running this race. Battles are not, even in the history of the world and in the kingdom of God, battles are not won by either numbers or by noise. It is won by knowledge. That's why God says, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The knowledge of God, knowledge of how the kingdom functions. You look in the history of the world of battles. Most battles were won by smaller armies, not big ones. And they were won because of the officers who commanded them with superior knowledge. And the history of the world knows the name of one person. His name is Alexander. And we are all in Alexanderabad, that is Sikandar. In Arabic, Alexander is Sikandar, Sikandarabad. If you were to take a world map, you can't find Macedonia. It is so small. It is so small. But he conquered the then known world with a tiny army because of superior knowledge, military tactics. So these battles are not won by numbers or noise. Israel tried to make a lot of noise and they lost the battle. The ark also was gone. And 30,000 soldiers died because they did not have the proper knowledge of the person the ark represented. Okay. So we are in a battle. And victory is guaranteed. Victory is guaranteed if we know how to fight. Why do we preach Christ crucified? Because if you and I do not know what he did, we can never become or do what he wants us to be. God's
pattern is always the same right from the beginning. That is why the first two chapters of the Bible, the book Genesis 1 and 2, are very important, because patterns are being set. So in Genesis 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, God blessed them, saying. What is said after that is not what is important. Because what is said, which we have to do, whatever we have to do, is never going to happen unless He empowers us first. He empowers us first. That is the blessing. He blessed them and then said, be fruitful. Okay. So always understand the pattern of God. When God asks us to do something, the blessing has to come first. If I have to overcome, I need to know what are the blessings I have. How do I overcome? Without it, it's not possible. So when God says, overcome, you need to realize, I cannot overcome until I have been blessed. I have been empowered to overcome. So in Ephesians 1:3, the Bible says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, not will, who has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every. All the blessings are in a person, and all the blessings are in a different realm. In a person, and in a different realm. Why in a person? Because the church in its entirety is the body of that person. So where is he seated? He is seated there. So in Ephesians 2:6 says, he raised us up together. These words are important. Because in all our words which we have in different languages for the word church, there's only one language, as far as I know, which got the word right. That is Hindi. In Hindi, the church is Kalisha. That's the actual word, Ecclesia. Ecclesia from Greek. A called out, separated people from the world. That's the church. So separated people. Called out, separated. And they are together. God doesn't see as parts. He sees us as a whole. Raised us up together, not individually. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And religion is individual. Christianity is not and cannot be individual. It's together. And position matters. Perspective matters. Perspective matters from where are you looking at life. God says, I seated you there. All of you together. In him. In that realm. I want you to look from there. So the parallel letter epistle he writes from prison to the church in Colossae. In Colossae 3 he will say, if then you were raised with Christ. It's your perspective. Spiritually, do you know where you are? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And people confuse these two words. Space. Okay, now what is God telling me? Keep my heart and mind on things above. And if anybody were to ask you, what are the things above? Nobody knows. What is the revelation of heaven? What do you have? Except in the book of Revelation. It is not telling you to keep sitting in an armchair and think about things of heaven. He says, you look at earth, everything in your life from heaven's perspective. If I say this, if I do this, how does it advance my king and his kingdom? How does it align with his will? How does it affect his body? That's what it means. Everywhere that perspective comes in. But if we really have to keep moving forward in this battle, we need knowledge. And the knowledge is the knowledge of Christ. Because the entire knowledge of God for us is hidden in Christ. That's what we have been learning. Brother John prayed from Revelation 12:11. Revelation 12:7 says, and they overcame him. Who is the him there? Satan. It's got so many names. Satan, the ancient serpent, the dragon, so many names. The accuser of the brethren. They overcame him. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb tells you the entire work of Jesus Christ. It's his soul, it's his life, represents the life of Christ. How does the church overcome? By the knowledge of the work of Jesus Christ. And by the word of their testimony. And this is where 90% of the church, I'm just giving random statistics, not picked from anywhere, just from my own mouth, okay? Fail because they don't speak. You have to speak in accordance to what the blood of the Lamb has achieved. You cannot speak contrary, because if you speak contrary, another kingdom takes over your mind. And you go down with anxiety, fear, worry, all those things, it takes over. But if you align with what the Lamb has done, then the kingdom of God takes over. That is why God says life and death is in the power of the tongue. He said, I set before you life and death. I set before you blessing and curses, but you have to choose. The question is, how is the choice known in this realm? At a wedding, how does the congregation know he is marrying her? Because there is an exchange of vows. What does he say? I do. Unless it is spoken, the pastor says, we don't. It has to be spoken. Otherwise, it will not be known. So we don't realize we are speaking. We are speaking. God is telling us the overcomers understood the secret of the victory is there in this one verse. The blood of the Lamb. And they have an attitude. They did not love their lives to the death. It's an attitude. And we see Apostle Paul's attitude in Philippians 1:21. He says, for me to live is Christ, to die is now, what do we call this attitude? That attitude is what we call the victor's mindset, the warrior's mindset. You know, once President Trump took over and Pete Hegseth, unlike Potbelly, the generals, he's from the ground. So he was made defense secretary and they changed the name of the department. Earlier it was called the Department of Defense. They changed it to the Department of War. Because the mindset has to change. They said, no DEI here. This is not to do your social experiments. This is to fight and win battles. We need the warrior ethos. No transcendent nonsense over here. You want equity? We will give you equity. Meaning, if a woman has to join the army, her test will be the same as the man. What happened was that U.S. Army in all the years were never able to meet the recruitment target, has overshot the target this year. Why? Because the ethos changed. Ethos changed. Now people are joining to be a warrior. The mindset matters. The mindset matters because the mindset is what will, it's the mindset of Jonathan. God can save with few or many. The mindset of David, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who dare defy the armies of the Lord. When Goliath shouted, the army ran. But when Goliath came, David ran towards Goliath. It's a warrior mindset. It's a warrior's mindset. So God says, you need to have this mindset. What does it mean? Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, what Christ did. By the word of their testimony, their mind, their life, and therefore your life is ultimately known to both realms, the physical realm and the unseen realm by the words you speak. agreed with what he has done. And they had a mindset. They didn't go around with long faces saying, poor me. They had a victor's mindset. They had a warrior's mindset. And God is saying, that is the battle that wins. So we have looked over the weeks. We have to go deep, be grounded in it, until what we say, it becomes, in science you call it, reflex action. You know, somebody were to poke your eyes automatically shut. It's not coming from your brain, it's coming from your spine. It automatically comes, until this becomes your default setting. Default setting. That's the whole idea. So Jesus, we understand the pattern from the Old Testament. We look at the substance is Jesus Christ in the New Testament. The pattern in the Old Testament is blood is shed 7 times. And we see Jesus shed the blood 7 times. The first one is what people miss. If you miss the first one, you missed it all. The first one is when he was 8 days old, he was circumcised. He was circumcised. The institution that began with Abraham, with whom God made a covenant. God and Abraham did not make a covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham. Because God put Abraham to sleep. And it is a unilateral covenant between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. So that when Abraham's seed breaks the covenant, the one who made the covenant will die. But as a sign that you are part of this covenant, he instituted circumcision. And when circumcision instituted, you came under the law. That's where the writer of Galatians, Apostle Paul, will say, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, under the law. On Christmas Day, he was born of a woman. 8 days later, he came under the law. For what? To fulfill the law for us who were all condemned by the law from the moment of conception. I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, is the cry of David. David is crying in Psalm 51. How could I do this? He says, you know what? I couldn't help it. That is my nature. I was born that way. When Adam sinned, we all sinned. When Adam died, we all died in him. That's my nature. So he came. He took the weight of the law. He fulfilled the law. And he took the law out of the way. That's a huge thing. The warrior's mindset has to change. I'm not under the law. Law, sin, death. That's the equation. Law, sin, death. Law brings the knowledge of sin. Sin brings death. There's no way out. So Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under. But, hey, I'm not under law. What I am under? Under grace. If I'm under grace, what does it mean? I can overcome sin. If I'm under law, I can never dominate sin. Sin will always dominate me. That's what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. He came. John 1:14 will say, how did he come? He came, he became, God became flesh and dwelt among us. Full of grace. And full of truth. Right? And 16 will say, out of the fullness of his grace, we have received blessing upon blessing, grace upon grace. For what? To overcome. I'm not under the law. Then what are you under? I am under grace. And what is grace given? To overcome. Because the first one I have to overcome is the enemy within. There's the enemy within. There are enemies without. How do I overcome? I have a mindset. What is the mindset? The mindset of a warrior. I'm not under law. I'm under grace. Therefore, I will win. It's not license, but it's victory. It's victory. So I've already been given everything to succeed. But I need to know it. I need to know how to implement it. The next thing we hear is that he goes, lives there without sin, reaches the Garden of Gethsemane. That's his battle. The most powerful prayer ever prayed. What is that? Not my will,
but your will be done. Any man, woman, child whose will is aligned to the will of God, it will be answered. It will be answered. Not only that, you have boldness to approach and to ask. Saint John will say, if we ask according to the will of God, we have confidence. Confidence. There he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood. The second time blood is mentioned, where he's shedding blood. And what happens? Because he shed blood over there, my will is being set free. Before that, people thought, I want to serve him, but this is what I do. I don't want to do this. This is what I end. But God says, your will is free now. The shedding of his blood has set my will free. If you don't know that, that's why God says people, God's people perish because of lack of knowledge. Because when you say, I'm going to serve God today, the devil says, you cannot. And you should be able to tell him, I can. Why? Because it is written. He set my will free. In God's Gethsemane, the blood in heavens declares, my will is free now to serve God. And the third thing we saw was, he was scourged. Now, if I have to serve God, I need a body to serve God. If I have to drink this, I need a cup to hold it. The body is a cup. The body is what does the will of God. But the problem with the body is, because of sin, the body is always under attack. It's damaged. Sin comes. Sickness comes. Infirmity comes. All kind of issues comes. And that is where the body is. And the Bible comes and says, he took our infirmities and our diseases upon himself. Okay. You need to understand, there is another person who is in this body. And I hope he is not the one who is listening to the message. He is called the old man. When the old man is living in this body is suicidal. Because every decision the old man makes is towards death. That's why it's called the body of sin, the body of death. The old man will not make a single decision which is either not prompted by flesh or the world. Brother John was praying about the world. Because what? The world is already under judgment. Because the ruler of the world already has been judged. That's why the cry from the beginning till the end in the book of Revelation is, come out, come out, come out. Do not be partaker, because the world is under judgment. The old man is suicidal. Why? He will always choose death. And you know what? He set my body free. Set my body free. To serve his will out. Serve his will out. He set it free from sickness. He set my body free from infirmity. It's a daily, conscious, daily. So Romans 12:1 will say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what? I'm still learning. I'm still learning. I didn't realize, if you take the King James Version, never in the Bible is the word surrender used. And in NKJV, 8 times the word surrender is used, and each time is towards the enemy. Surrender is a word that is used when you give yourself to the enemy. God says there is no surrender. You yield yourself, present yourself. Surrender is the wrong word. Yet we sing, all to Jesus I surrender. He's not your enemy. He's your father. And when I was going through that, I was like, boy, I didn't know this. The surrender is the wrong word.
1971 in Bangladesh, the Pakistan army surrendered to India. The Japanese army surrendered in an aircraft carrier. Hitler's army surrendered to the American forces. You don't surrender to God. You yield to God. You press. And even in the beginning when I prayed, the default setting is always got so much into surrender and singing that song, "All to Jesus, I surrender." God says, "I don't want you to surrender. I want you to yield. I'm not your enemy. I'm not fighting you. I'm not overpowering you. Just yield. Present yourself. Yield." So it was an eye-opener. Okay, really eye-opener. I'm saying, thank you, Lord. I'm still a student. Okay, I teach you, but with him, I'm always a student. Offer. Now I can offer. I can present. I can yield. Can yield. Paul will go in Romans 6 and says, now yield the instruments of your body. Each one, your eyes, your ears, your tongue, each instrument you yield to God, present to God as instruments of righteousness for his use. But the big one is verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Renew. Your mind has to be made new. That's what renew means. My passport expired. What do I have to do? I have to renew. What, they extend the date and give you the old passport back? No, they give you a brand new passport. They don't give you the old passport. They give you a brand new passport. He says your mind has to be made new. If your mind is not made new, you will never understand what is the will of God. You are not able to prove. So many people have not proven God's will. And if you prove God's will, you will always see that it's good. It's never bad. It's acceptable. And it is perfect. And this is where the whole thing comes. Don't conform. Don't conform to the world. The world has multiple ways of thinking. Don't conform. Don't conform. Don't conform. Everything has. That's what it means. Keep your mind on things above. That's what it means. I'm going through this. My mind is telling this. 100 different voices are telling this. What do you say about this? What do you say about this? That is not conforming to the pattern of the world, but a new mind, a mind that thinks. And we also saw about the mind. The first thing about the mind is attitude. Your mind cannot be renewed unless you have the right attitude of the kingdom. The right attitude of the kingdom is, it's very difficult for us to believe, because we have only seen all the pagan gods in life, that the actual living God is humble. It's very difficult. He's lowly. So God says, I want you to be humble. I cannot teach you unless you are humble. See, one man, from the day we see him till the day he dies, whom God taught was David. That's why he became greater than his teachers. Because God could teach him till the last minute. Why? Because he always remained humble. The day you stop it, God cannot teach you. You may have multiple teachers, but God cannot teach you. If God has to teach us, he demands his attitude in us. And it's our choice. He never says, I will humble you. Please did never pray that prayer, Lord, humble me. You don't want to get into that trap. He said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself. And one of the ways of humbling yourself is, the primary way is, what did God say? What did God say? So keep these things in mind. First thing is you need to realize is, from where are you looking? Position matters. Position matters. Remember the first question God asks in the Bible is, where are you? Where are you? And today also he's asking, where are you? Are you looking up or are you looking down? Are you looking up at your problems or are you looking down at your problems? And your response is this, but am I asking you this question? Who told you? That's the second question. Who told you? My life is a mess. What have you done? Then you're mad with everybody. Why are you angry? These are God's questions. These are God's questions. But today we are not looking at that. We're going to the fifth one. So God set first us free from the law. We are under grace, and grace gives you power to overcome. What law shows, grace can overcome. Because law never empowers. And actually Jesus did not come with the law. He came with truth. Truth goes beyond the law. The law only shows a surface. Truth shows what it really means. That's called the spirit of the law. You know, before I became a believer, I understood this, but I understood it much better after I became a believer. For those who are from Kerala, those years we had 11 and 12 was called PDC, pre-degree course. And for first year PDC for English, there was, I can still remember, was a short story by A.G. Gardner. And the short story's title was All About a Dog. It's the last trip in the night, 10 o'clock or 11 in London. I think London, UK. And there are only two or three passengers. And it stops and a lady gets in with a dog. The lady gets in with the dog and the driver refuses to start. He says, the law says no dogs allowed. She said, I will take my dog with me. The driver says, if you don't get out with the dog, I will not start the bus. Okay. Now there are two or three other passengers. Each of the passengers told the driver, we have no issues. You please take off. He said, no. The law says no dogs. They waited and they waited and they waited. Finally, the lady got off with the dog. The other two passengers also got off. Only one passenger was left. So he and the driver were talking. So the driver told him, I kept the law. And the man told him, but you broke its spirit. The purpose of the law was, do not inconvenience other passengers. All the passengers were okay with the dog, but ultimately you are reaching your destination with no passengers. That is the first time I heard about the law and the spirit of the law. Then when you became a believer and you read the Bible, you realize these are all things which you knew, but you didn't know what it meant. So a lot of people keep the law, but break its spirit. What did it actually mean? What did it actually mean? That is truth. And it is a truth that sets you free. Imagine the conversation was different. The driver turns around very cheerfully and says, no dogs allowed. And she says, are you okay with the dog? And they all say, we are all okay with the dog. And he says, okay, fine, if you're okay with the dog, I'm also okay with the dog. Let's go home. From enter differently, because that was the spirit of the law. But we stick to the letter or hatya karte. But let us go to the fifth one, John 19, where they crucified him. See, spiritual truths which changes lives will only have part of a verse. The greatest event in human history is one line. She brought forth her firstborn, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and put him in one line.
अरे बाबा हमारे बच्चे का बर्थ हाउ मेनी पैराग्राफ्स. Son of God comes one line, but that line is not there in the Bible. We are doomed. You take that one line out, we are all gone. You don't understand this part of this verse, we lose so much in life. So the first thing, let us put it across. They crucified him. They crucified, nailed his hands to the cross. The first thing about hands in the Bible, okay, remember there are actual physical things in the material realm and they are symbols in the spiritual realm. The first thing about hands is that it's a symbol of authority. The king carries the scepter in his hand. The ring is put, sealed with his ring. It's a symbol of authority. That's the first thing which we need to understand about, because Jesus said, this is what you need to seek. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, everything flows according to authority, not power. Power is available also in the enemy's kingdom, but it doesn't flow according to authority. Understand this difference. Because we get so carried away by power, because we don't understand authority. In the kingdom of God, everything flows according to authority. I've repeated many times. I will repeat one more time. 23, 24-year-old young man sitting in the director of education in the kingdom of Bhutan, 1988, sitting there before him. Final. Already got the job. Moving to my place. I have to meet him before. And he looks at me and said, Mr. James, you're from India. India is a democracy. Power flows bottom up. You choose your rulers. Bhutan is a monarchy. Power flows here. I still can remember. He said, power flows here like the feathers of a rooster, top down. So we do not allow any form of dissent against our king. Can still remember that. So when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, you need to understand the kingdom of God functions on the principle of authority. And in the kingdom of God, all authority is with the Father. All authority is with the Father. After Jesus comes, judgments are all over. He rules for 1,000 years. Satan is locked up for 1,000 years. Satan is released. Satan still gathers all the reprobates around. You can have reprobates under Jesus also. So imagine the reprobates without Jesus. That's a final battle. Judgment is all over. All whose names are not in the Lamb's book of life is thrown into the lake of fire. And the Son hands the kingdom to the Father, and he too comes under the Father. So all authority is with the Father. All authority is with the Father. That's why we need to understand salvation. Jesus is the way to the Father. No man comes to the Father except through me. He came us to take us back to the Father. So in Matthew 28 and verse 18, he says, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given. He didn't say all authority is mine. He says, no, I am a man under authority. When I was on earth, you saw, I spoke only what he spoke. I only did what he told me to do. And I only did it the way he does. I am a man under authority. That's why he was fascinated by the Roman centurion, because he said, I am a man under authority. One man under authority recognizing another man under authority.
So he says, all authority is given to me. He didn't say it's mine. So get this principle first, because it has to start from there. Because you are in a race, never look at how it is functioning. You are at a race because you could do great things with power, but not be under authority. And on the day of judgment, you will be disqualified. So don't run your race in vain. Remember Shiny Abraham? Gold medal, Asian Games, announced and then taken back because for a fraction of a second she changed her track. Fraction of a second. She was on this track, she ran like antics and she was disqualified. The gold was taken back because she did not run according to the rules, though she finished first. And her time was better, because if you have to change track and get back into your track and still finish me, you ran actually better than all the others. Still you are disqualified. Why? You didn't run according to the rules. So always think, you know what, I'm in a race. At the end of the race, the Father has promised what is eternal. Reign with me. Okay, keep that. Authority. Even Satan understands authority. And Satan tempted Jesus in Luke chapter 4. Devil took him up on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He showed the kingdoms of the world. He's not showing all the glories of the earth. He's showing the kingdoms of the world. And devil said to him, all this authority I will give you. The world is mine. I made it through men, so it's mine. I will give it to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to. Who gave it to him? Adam gave it to him. God gave it to Adam and blessed him and says, be fruitful and multiply. Adam gave it to Satan. So you need to understand, in the spiritual realm, they understand authority. Satan cannot say this unless it is given to him. Cannot say this. Get this picture first. The first thing we need to understand is the kingdom works under the principle of authority. So what hands, what I do with my hands has to be under his authority. Under his authority. Why? Because authority and righteousness goes together. That's what I was telling. Jesus did not say, seek ye first the kingdom of God alone. Because if that verse is cut there, you can seek the kingdom. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of power. Principles have been established. The kingdom of God encompasses everything. Two realms are in rebellion. The realm of Satan and the realm of man is in rebellion against the kingdom of God. God could finish them all off and take it over, but because he loves us, he wants to redeem us, he's giving us time. But one day he will say, time up. Whether you are ready or not, here I come. Okay? But when he began Genesis 1, he set laws into motion. These are all part of his kingdom. And what we are doing, you is understanding and studying all the branches in which you are excellent. Doctors are sitting, engineers are sitting, software, hardware, everywhere is here. Cookingware, everywhere is here. But you cannot cook unless there are laws on which it is established. Why don't you boil water and put mustard seed? Why doesn't it split? Because there's a law. But when you do with oil, which looks kind of similar, little thick, it's different because there are laws established. And the laws were established by him. So what is basically man science doing? They're understanding the laws in which God has established different realms of his kingdom and using it to better life. So you can take the principles of the kingdom and really be successful. And one day be disqualified because you didn't keep the other half. What is that? Seek his righteousness. When you are applying these principles in your life and pursuing an objective, see that your standing with him is always right. Righteousness is a relationship term. See that you're always right with him. That changes everything. So you need to understand authority and righteousness always go together. Hebrews 1:8 defines his kingdom. But to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your... The scepter is in the hand. The scepter is authority. That authority always brings forth the righteousness of God. Understand that. The authority you and I exercise should always bring forth the righteousness of God. Understand principles. This is how it works. So when it says he was crucified, his hands were nailed to the cross, not a small thing. The first thing you need to understand about hands is authority. The next thing you need to understand that it should bring forth the righteousness of God. And the third thing you need to understand about hands is that there has to be order. It's all in the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, the Bible says, I want you to know the head of every man is Christ. Head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. There is order in the kingdom. Though the Father says to the Son, O God, your throne is forever and ever, the head of that God is God the Father. The head of Christ is God. The head of man is Christ. The head of woman is... There is order. There is order. Don't take it seriously. Seriously, take it seriously. There is order. Take it very, very seriously. Because for sin to come, you just have to change the order. We saw it last year. All you have to is change order. And that's the entire plan of the enemy in the last days. It's happening in the last 100 years. It first began as a movement called feminism, changing order. It moved into homosexuality. And it's moved into trans movement. You know how it began? It began by just changing the order. If you look at Genesis 3:1, the beginning of sin, and the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made, and he said to the woman, forget what he said. The thing is that first thing he did is changed order. He changed the order. He didn't go to man. He went to the woman. Remember when Paul talks about this to Timothy, he goes right back there. He goes right back to the beginning. He says, this is how you need to understand. All she had to say is that, don't ask me anything. Oh, ask my husband. He's the one who heard from God. He's the one who has been delegated. I am to help him, not to rule him. That's all she had to say. So the beginning of sin is by changing the order. There is so much disorder. So much disorder. So don't confuse power and authority. I tell people, so many Christians are communists in their thinking. That's the renewing of your mind. Their thinking is communism, because the basic premise of communism is this. The end justifies the means. Meaning, I want this. So how I get it is irrelevant. So to bring this utopia called a socialistic communist government, I can kill 20 million people who resist me. That's fine. Because my goal is this. So when the Maoists take over China, they kill every businessman is killed. Watchman Nee unfortunately happened to hold a business. So he was in prison for 21 years and he died in prison. This is because this is the entire premise of communism. What is that? The end is determined. Means don't matter. The kingdom of God is exactly the opposite.
The end is determined. We are being judged for the means. He's already seen the end from the beginning. Even before you were formed in our mother's womb, He knew you. Even before the foundation of the world, He has already chosen us. So He's not looking at the end. He's saying, how are you achieving this? Communism is not interested in that. And so many Christians are communist in their mindset. I want that result, so I will supplant order. God says, be very careful. Don't look at the results. Look at the order. Is it coming according to God's order? Be very, 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 very careful. Because sometimes when there is disorder in a home or in a ministry, results are very fast. Very fast you get results because the devil will empower you. Will help you in the process. Look at Genesis 27. 20. And Isaac said to his son, how is that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord your God brought it to me. Really? You see, the mother and the son plotted to fool the father. This another fellow looking for shikari ke liye gaya hai. He is searching, searching, searching. Here already cooked and served. Why? You just change the order. Suddenly result aa gaya. And she knows anyway his taste buds. Okay. Need you understand? Disorder. Okay. Or the ministry. God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. He said, I will go to that. Minute he goes, are ship is ready. And checks one berth empty. And that too below where I can sleep. And looks, goji mein paisa bhi hai. Are, thank you, Lord. Okay. If the storm hadn't been sent by God, we would have a Jonah ministry in Tarshish. And all the people would be singing hallelujah. But don't realize it started out of disorder. The difference is when you come out of order and there is a storm against you, you can rebuke the wind and tell the sea, be calm. But when you're out of order, you have to say, throw me into the storm because I am the cause for this storm. That's the difference. I am the cause of this storm. Understand how it works. Understand how it works. So please understand these things. Authority, righteousness, order. God is restoring order back in the church, not in the world. Don't be a feminist. Don't be a humanist. Don't be a communist. Don't be a socialist. Leave all that to New York City. Be a Christian. So you don't listen to speeches very carefully and you don't understand ideology, so you don't understand what he is planning to do when he takes over the mayor. He's one of his speeches in interviews, he said very carefully, we have to seize the sources of production. One line. Do you know what? That's what communists do. They take over every private enterprise and makes it all government, so the people are dependent upon them. When the source of production is taken off, you can be very sure the economy will die. Every communist economy has died because there is no more incentive to work. If the doctor and the plumber get the same salary, why should I work? I'll be a plumber. It's easier. That's what he said. People don't understand ideology. So they don't understand what this fellow is saying. Okay, because you need to understand, we are people of the kingdom. We don't let any ideology shape our thinking. So we understand all authority is with the Father. And He has given all authority to the Son. And the Son said, go to the ends of the world. Preach the gospel. And what are we supposed to do? Make disciples. So we will take 2 hours to teach you. Why? Because the one who has all authority commissioned us to teach you and make you disciples. And not to entertain you and send you home. We are working under authority. Understand how it functions.
So you need to understand authority, righteousness, order. You need to have order. The head of Christ is God. The head of man is Christ. And the head of woman is man. And every man has to be very sure his head is Christ. He should be able to say when he faces a situation, it is written. It is written. It was told by God. This is what God told. Because when judgment comes, God doesn't change order. God knows everything. Everything. He knows Satan came. He knows what Satan spoke. He knows Eve is the one who took. But when he comes, he doesn't come and says, Eve, Eve, my daughter, my beloved, where are you? He didn't say, he's Adam, where are you? He didn't ask Eve, where are you? Because he will not supplant his own order. And he says, I was naked, I was afraid. He says, who told you? Who told you? Did somebody with another authority speak to you, therefore you feel naked? Because whoever you believe has authority over you. So when God comes and speaks, that is what every sister here in the house who's married and who's not unmarried always have to realize. When something happens in my home, God will come and ask my man. And therefore every man has to be sure Christ is my head. He's my head. When the judgment begins on mankind, this is how God begins. Because you listen to your wife, not to me. Listening to your wife is not what is wrong. Listening to your wife, which is contrary to what Christ has said, is what is wrong. Please understand how it comes. That is why Paul will say, if a woman prays or prophesies, she should have a covering. One covering, she should have a man above her. Two, she should have a sign on her head. Because of the angels. It's not a woman cannot pray or prophesy. See that you are under order. Who asked you? Who asked you? And God will never change this order in this entire Bible. Any woman whom God has used in the Bible, Deborah, Huldah and all, the minute they are mentioned, it is always Deborah, the wife of. Huldah, the wife of. And if she is not married like the seven daughters or six daughters of Philip, it is written, the six daughters of Philip who prophesied. Because God will not change. Meaning they have a cover. They are under authority. The only instance God directly speaks to a woman in the Old Testament is Samson's mother. But do you know her name? You don't know her name. Mrs. Manoah. And both times he comes, the man is not there. You understand that? It's a missing man. So you already know Samson's goose is cooked. The father is absentee father. Children whose goose are cooked is mothers who don't pray and fathers who are missing. So it doesn't matter how much load of anointing is upon them, their goose is already cooked. Because there is a disorder in the home. The most anointed man, physically speaking, you know his end. Okay, so you need to understand how the kingdom of God works. And the second time in the new covenant, when God speaks to a woman directly, is Virgin Mary. Because the virgin shall give birth. That's the only time he speaks to her. After that, everything is spoken to Joseph. Once you get that right in your lives, you are ready to overcome. You are ready to overcome. You are ready to overcome. You got authority. You understand righteousness. You have order. It's important. And then
The next thing you need to understand about the hands, the first thing about hands, once you have these three in place, the first thing about hands, 1 Timothy 2:8. He says, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt. First thing he says is, men ought to pray. Men ought to pray. It's important. Why we should pray. We always ask, no, men ought to always pray and never lose heart. Pray without. Why should we pray so much? God is all powerful. God is sovereign. He has seen the end from the beginning. And why should we pray? It's got to do with his righteousness. Psalm 115 verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. That's God's righteousness. He gave earth to man. Now he says, if I have to do anything on earth, I will do it through man. That's his righteousness. My son is sitting over there. He's got a room in the house. He's a mature kid, 20 plus. But ask him. Every time I enter his room, I knock. Why? Because I gave that room to him. I can barge in. I don't. He's not a minor. He's an adult. God gave earth to man. Please get this in picture. So, if God has to do anything other than judgment, he's looking for a man. Always looking for a man. So even to save man who fell into sin, God did not save man as God. God did not save man as an angel. He has to come as a man. That is why Jesus is called the Son of God and the Son of Man. The Trinity had to change forever because of this one verse. I have given earth to the sons of men. Therefore, God tells men, pray. So that I can intervene. Pray. So that I can intervene. Pray that I can intervene. Because it's got to do with my righteousness. I will not intervene unless you pray. So God is always looking for a man. In Ezekiel, he says, I looked for a man and I found none. One man to stand in the breach. One man, none. So what did I do? My own right hand worked up the salvation. Who's that? God became man. He was looking for one man. Exodus 2, 23. Now it happened in the process of time, the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. They cried out. Their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with man. Who is that? Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And verse 25. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them and did nothing. Why? Because he's looking for a man. And there is a man looking after sheep in the wilderness. There's no man in Israel, in Egypt. There's only one man who doesn't want to do anything. And God has to catch his attention with a burning bush, draw him, speak to him. And he's only making excuses. So the question God asks him finally is, what is in your hand? It's in your hand. And he says, this rod. The hand. He says, put it on the ground. And suddenly you see it's become a serpent. And he ran away from it. You know what happens? When your eyes are open to the reality of your past life, you will run from it. Because you will realize it, whether it was 40 years in the world successful or 40 years in depression in the building, it was both empowered by the enemy. It was not empowered by God. 40 years of Prince of Egypt. 40 years of thinking I understood the call of God. And let me do it my way. Now you are depressed, oppressed. I don't want to do anything. I'm good for nothing. This is my life. God says both was empowered by the enemy. Do you see? The serpent. That's a reality. Now what does he say? Go back. Catch it by its tail. You need to realize, for the next 40 years, you will be holding the rod the other way around. Why? Because for 80 years you held it this way. That is the pattern of the world. The kingdom does not agree with the pattern of the world. Hold it the other way. Do not be conformed to the pattern of the world. But by the renewing of your mind, you will know what is a good, acceptable, pleasing, perfect will of God. It's interesting. Moses is going to walk like this now. Everybody is holding their rod this way, is holding it this way. Why? Because he encountered God. Next thing, put your hand on your bosom. I'll show you the true nature of your heart that did all these things. Leprous. Just put it back. Cleansed. Now he says, go to Egypt. Bring my people back. Exodus 4:20 says this. Moses took his wife, his sons, and set them on a donkey. He returned to the land, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Hands have been made holy, and your rod has changed. It is no longer yours. Your life is no longer yours. The authority now you have doesn't come from Pharaoh. It comes from God. Therefore, the rod is not your rod anymore. It's the rod of God. And with that, he will bring his people, God's people, out. That's where our deliverance. So, men, what is his exhortation? I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands. And Moses' hands are made holy first. And is given authority now by God. Authority by God. But the most powerful incident in prayer life is when they come into the wilderness. They have no water. They are complaining as usual. Please understand, it's quite different how God deals with children. Children in the sense, new believers, doesn't matter how old they are, and how he deals with Moses. Remember when they came to Red Sea, all the children started crying. Children of Israel started howling, and they, why did you bring us? Better to have died. This is a refrain. They're always talking death. And then Moses also. And God looks at Moses and says, why are you crying? Refrain got into him. Why are you crying? He said, take the rod. Do you know why you cry? Because you do not know who you are in Christ. Do you know why you cry? You do not know you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Do you know you cry? You do not know where you are seated. Do you know why you cry? Because you actually do not know what Christ has done. You cry because you do not know the promises of God which are exceedingly precious, and through which you partake of the divine nature and destroy the works of the enemy. And every promise is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. That's why you cry. They told Moses, why are you crying? Why are you crying? Now they are in the desert. They have no water. So there is a place called Rephidim. They come there, and God tells Moses, do you see the rock? Now you stand before the rock. I will stand upon the rock, and you smite it. Water will come. Nobody sees God. They only see Moses. He smites the rock. Water comes. Everybody drinks. The next thing that is written is, at Rephidim, the Amalekites attacked. It's the first war Israel is going to fight. Please understand that every time you drink from the rock, because in Corinthians 10, Paul will say the rock that followed them was Christ Jesus. Every time you drink from that rock, the enemy will attack you, so that that water doesn't bring forth life. He will attack you. But that's the most powerful picture. Most powerful picture. So now let us see what happens there. 17, 8 to 11. Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Most powerful, most powerful. You need to understand what happens when you are in order, when you understand authority, when you understand the righteousness of God, when you understand order, when you actually pray. The first thing you need to understand is, Moses went up a hill. You need to know your position from where you are praying. We are in Christ, and Christ is on a mountain called Zion. The church is called Zion. You are not crying from a hole. You are praying from a different vantage point. It matters because the enemy is watching. You can't fool him. We can only resist him, and he will flee from you. Second thing it says that Moses held up his hand. But those are not bare hands. On one hand is the rod of God. So he's just not holding up hands. He has hands which has authority. The question is, authority comes from here. The question is, do we really know the word of God to pray? He said he didn't say anything. He said it's written. Authority. Authority. It is written. Where does Prime Minister Modi get his authority from? The Constitution. It is written. Constitution, it is written in 1950. Still gives authority to every person who's sworn in. He's sworn in and he has authority. And he works within the parameters of the Constitution which gives him authority. What gives you and me authority? This. This. That's the rod he's holding. Hands are not bare. Hands are not bare. And please understand, there is order. It is Moses' hands that are up. If you read verse 11, it is written, when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. It does not say Joshua's hands grew tired fighting. It says Moses' hands got tired holding it up. You think spiritual warfare is easy? Do you know why Jesus slept in the boat in a storm? Because he's exhausted. He's been fighting. Resisting the enemy. Not giving them an inch. It doesn't say Joshua's hands got tired fighting. It says Moses' hands. Moses' hands got tired. And if you come to verse 12. But Moses' hands became heavy. Hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him and he sat on it. Why did his hands get heavy? One, because he was standing. Standing. These are spiritual principles. If you go to Ephesians chapter 6, where spiritual warfare, the most authentic verses about spiritual warfare in the entire New Testament, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Stand. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness. And if you read the subsequent verses, three times it tells you to stand, to stand, to stand. Why did he get tired? Because he was standing. But before you can stand, Ephesians 2:6 talks about another spiritual reality. What is that? God has raised us up. Yeah, 2:6. I didn't give it. Yeah. Raised us up together and made us
sit. If you are not sitting in Christ, you will get tired. A lot of people just quit their prayer closet. Most people don't even really pray because they get tired. You know why they get tired? Because they're not seated. They're not seated. They do not know who they are in Christ Jesus. They do not know the exceeding great promises of God. You will never grow through any situation in life which is not covered by a promise, and the promise brings the grace of God. That's why he tells Paul, my grace is sufficient. Out of the fullness of his grace, we have received grace upon grace. The unmerited supernatural power of God. That's the truth. Before you can stand, you need to sit. Before you can stand, you need to walk. You have to learn how to walk. The new man learns how to walk. In the community, in the marriage, in the home, in the workplace, he's taught how to walk. So first to be seated in Christ Jesus, because that is who you are. Now the new man has to be taught, this is who you are, therefore don't walk like before. Walk this way. You have learned to walk. So you have seated, you have learned to walk. When the enemy comes, he says, stand. Otherwise you'll be tired. So what did Aaron and Hur do? They made him sit down. What does God say? Kuchunde. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Don't jump into anything first. Ministry is secondary. First learn to sit down. Learn to walk. Then you can stand against all the wiles of the devil. How do you sit in Christ? Through the word. If my words abide in you, and you abide in me. The young man who overcame the wicked one was the reason the word of God was abiding in them. Abiding in them. Because you are running a race. It's nothing to do with this life. It's all got to do with the eternal life that is coming. I tell in the rural areas when I preach in Hindi, if you don't overcome and you're all so poor, either we bikari, udhar we bikari. You two are poor in this world. God has made them rich in faith. Rich in faith. So he teaches us. So we need to understand all this. We know scripture so well. The devil is a roaring lion. So be sober, be alert. He's looking whom he can devour. So stand steadfast in faith and resist him. But we forget the two verses before that. We know 8 and 9. We don't know what sets the framework for 8 and 9. That is 6 and 7. That is the order in math, right? 6, 7, 8, 9. So let us look at 6 and 7. First thing. No, not efficient. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That's the first thing. Just humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. Second, casting all your care upon me. That's the first thing. Stop worrying. Stop being anxious. Stop being so afraid. All those are symptoms of the old man reigning. The new man has to be taught how to cast all your cares upon him. So you have a mindset that is humility, and you have learned every day to rise up the first thing in the morning and the last thing in the evening so that you can sleep without anxiety. You live long without your BP rising in the middle of the night. You have to learn, and you need to know scriptures for that. That's why I give you scriptures. God is not a man that he should lie, but the Son of Man that he should repent. If he says something, he will do it. And but how can I come? I have been accepted in the beloved. And he gives his beloved rest. That's how I go to sleep. Based on the promises of God. You need to understand where it comes from. This is what is setting the tone. The man of prayer understands the God of the word, not the word of God. You can know the word of God and miss the God of the word. You can memorize the entire scripture like the Pharisees and never know the God. When he's standing before you, you don't even recognize him. The king has come into his temple. He's 40 days old. The entire temple has been built for him. Every sacrifice that is taking place is a shadow of what he is going to do. The mother is holding the baby and nobody has any clue the king has come into his temple except an old woman and an old man. And the man is outside. He has to be brought in. The woman has never gone out. And they both had given the revelation. The king has come into his house. That is Anna and Simeon. It can happen to any one of us. We know the entire word, but we don't know the God of the word. This knowledge of the God of the word that brings deliverance, that grieves boldness, that takes our anxiety, worries and all away. Why should I cast all my cares upon him? Because he cares for you. If he did not spare his only son for us, how much more with him he will give us all things. Romans 8:32. Should open your mouth and say these things so that your anxiety subsides. It's just not going to go randomly. That is what David did. Oh my soul, why are you downcast? When everybody's hand is against him and he's all alone in his life, the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he do? He was speaking to himself. Speaking to himself. Moses sat. Verse 12 says Moses sat. Exodus 17:12-13. Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the same. Please understand this. This is the most important part of our life if you want to overcome. One of the most powerful verses in the Bible concerning answered prayer is from the mouth of Jesus. Matthew 18 verse 19, he says, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. This is the principle of the... You see, most Christians are waiting for God to do something while God is waiting for them to agree. That's why husband and wives don't agree. Houses don't agree. Churches, there is no agreement. Because the devil knows if two people agree, things will happen with the will of God. Please understand the nature of God. This is what the Jew recites every day. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Are they one or three? They are three, they are one. How are they one? In agreement. There is no disagreement in the Trinity. Absolutely disagreement. There was only one time there was a disagreement in the Trinity is when in the Garden of Gethsemane the Son said, Father, take this cup away. Then he immediately reverted and said, not my will, but your will be done. Three times he asked. No disagreement. That is how they are one. This is the Old Testament pattern which we are following in the New Covenant which God is trying to establish in the church. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, the Bible says this. 16:9. What is that? God's eyes are roaming back and forth the entire earth. What is he looking for? He's looking for one man. One person whose heart is loyal to him. One person. Please understand, you study the movements of God right from Genesis onwards. It doesn't begin with two men. It always begins with God and one man. God is looking at this. Who is the one who agrees with me? Who is the one who agrees with me? Who is the one who agrees with me?
That's how you found people. You found Moses. You found Joshua. You found David. You found Elijah. Those agreed with him. Look at David before we know David. Look at what God says in Acts chapter 13. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony. Who gave testimony? God gave testimony. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. I found a young boy in the wilderness. The father's name is Jesse. His name is David. His heart aligns with mine. Aligns with mine. That's what God is looking for.
That's what God is looking for. Those who will align. Because Moses is seated. Aaron is holding.
Hur is holding. Aaron is older than Moses. But they know the order. Our job is to agree with him. Moses was sent by God. Aaron was sent to Moses. You may be older. In the kingdom, all those things are irrelevant. You should baptize me. Not the other way around. John the Baptist says, no, so let it be, so that righteousness can be fulfilled. This is the order. You are the one to baptize me because there is a change of priesthood. You are the last of the old covenant and the first of the new covenant. So there has to be a transference. Let us come under God's order. You baptize me, John. It is all right. And once it is done, he says, now I shall decrease. He shall increase. Understand? We are not looking at work that we look at another day this week. We are looking at how to pray for yourself, for your home. Because God is looking for one man. He found one man. Israel's darkest period, one of his darkest period, he found one man who aligns with him. And you come to chapter 18 and verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 18, 1. When he had finished speaking to Saul, the Saul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Why? Because now two men who agreed with God came together. This is what we call in the kingdom soulmate. Jonathan is of the same spirit as David, but he is the king's son, he's a shepherd boy, but he realizes he is before me. Not the other. If you know the subsequent verses, he takes off everything and gives it to David. As he understands. Now you have two men there and you will realize this is the man God will use to keep David alive. Yet, he's the son, the eldest son of David's enemy. But he realized the kingdom doesn't work like this. This is the man that is chosen. Please understand, agreement does not add, it multiplies. One can put 1,000 to flee, two can put 2,000, that is addition. Two can put 10,000. Who are those two? Those who agree. Moses is the one who is sitting, hands upraised, not Aaron. Not Aaron. Because in lots of places, what Aaron will try to do is bring Moses' hand down and put his hand up. Let people see me. God says, stand back, stand back, stand back. Your time will come. I'll anoint you as the high priest. But even that, he will do it for you. Stand back. Wait for your time. Wait for your time. Moses is the one who is holding the rod. Not Aaron or her. Aaron and her, what are they doing? They are holding his hands up. That That is spiritual agreement, spiritual unity. If you look there, come. My two bakras, come. Quickly, run and come. If Philip hadn't run, he would have missed the text. The Spirit told him, run. So run and come. You come this side. Okay. Now you hold my hands up. With both your hands. Both my hands. There are six hands, but only one rod. There are no three rods. Six hands holding up the word of God. What is being magnified is Him. I have magnified my word above all my name. Yeah, that's what He's doing. From far away, all they can see is the rod is up. When the rod is up, we win. When the rod comes down, we lose. When the word of God comes down, you will lose, I will lose. When the word of God comes up, we will win. And every hand is aligned to keep the word up, not self up. This is how marriages should function. This is how homes should function. This is how churches should function. And you start recalibrating in the end of 2025 and move into 2026. I'm telling you, just see what God will do. The blessings of God that has been waiting, pushing against your disorder and rebellion and doubt and fear and unbelief, according to Deuteronomy over 28, will overtake you. What is God waiting for? He's just waiting for order. Agreement to come between husband and wife. And the home. It's not very difficult. That's why he says, he doesn't say, resist the devil. No, he says, humble yourself. That fellow is proud. I am humble. You are proud. How can proud resist proud? You're both of the same kind. Humble yourself. Let me have the picture. Once on a time for children, we need pictures, no? Right, Jaden? We need pictures, right? If you ever stand on a hill and you have an Aaron holding you up, I will tell Aaron to put his hand on your head to keep the hair down. Uh-oh. The small picture. Can we move it to the middle? Did you see that? It's a simple picture. You need to have pictures to carry that image in your mind. No? Yes. Very simple picture. Somebody painted in the old days. Somebody painted a picture of Moses on the mountain with Aaron and Hur beside him. And this is how they distinct. There is he looking down at the battle from the hill. They're holding his hands up. It's a picture of prayer. Alignment, agreement with God. It's very simple. We have the promises of God. You cannot be defeated. Christ cannot be. It's not you. I cannot be defeated. Christ cannot be defeated. That's the problem. Christ in me can never be defeated. So our job is to exalt Christ. I will be defeated in every battle. Christ will never be defeated. He's a man of war from the beginning. He has never lost a battle. That is why everything in the new covenant is only in Christ. Nothing is there for us outside Christ. Get this order in. Order is spiritual agreement. Alignment. It's unity. In Amos 3:3, the Bible says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Now, we cannot and don't have to agree on everything. But we have to agree. First, we have to decide what is the subject we have to agree on. So Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is the subject. You don't have to fight whether the toilet seat should be up or down. Toothpaste from the bottom or from the middle. I have both at home. I am from the bottom. She's from the middle. So what is the way not to have conflict? Buy two tubes of toothpaste. You have your joy from pressing from the middle. I have my joy from pressing from the bottom. We are both happy? No, you have to agree with me. I am the head, you are the tail. So, from tomorrow onwards, press from the bottom. You will still press from the middle. Because it's default setting. I cannot say, it is written, you should press from the middle. It is not written. The toilet seat should be always up. Lord, Jesus said, when I came as a man, there was no toilet seat. People fight about stupid stuff without understanding on which agreement should be. What did the kingdom and the king say about this matter? What did it say about this? What did this say about this? What did this say about it? Because that is where my authority comes from. And then when I exercise it, I bring forth the righteousness of God. And the third thing I have to check is that, am I in order? Am I supplanting order? Am I supplanting order? Because if you supplant order, a spirit gets in. The name of that spirit is Jezebel. Jezebel likes supplanting. So you have to be very, very careful. And Jezebel is very powerful. She's not even afraid of Elijah. Elijah is afraid of her. It's a very powerful spirit. It can make things happen. It can get Naboth's vineyard, which the law says can never be given. She said, not a problem, I have a way. Kill Naboth, take the vineyard. And how can we kill him? Don't worry, we will do it officially. We'll get people to... That is the same spirit that is operating thousands of years later in Caiaphas' court. They are giving false witnesses about Jesus Christ. Don't think Jezebel's spirit is female. It gets into anybody who supplants order. It will bring results. Be very, very careful, because we are talking about a race. We are not talking about results. Please let me tell you, enemy does not fear crowds. Enemy does not fear worship. Enemy does not fear prayer. He fears agreement with God. He is scared if this entire crowd stands as one. He knows I am in trouble. He knows if this entire crowd comes as one and worships, he knows I am in trouble. He knows that if we can come together as one, all according to the word, and pray, he knows he's in trouble. So even Paul and Barnabas couldn't get together. Because he knows these two get together, I'm going to have havoc in the kingdom. So let us bring a flesh over here, a nephew over here, and create a rift. You need to. This is talking about the wiles and devices of the enemy. That's why he says, humble yourself. Why should you humble yourself? Because we thought, what are you looking for? I'm looking for agreement. Pride stands as a block. Homes and churches don't function on agreement. They function on compromise. Because agreement scares Satan. You need to understand what the church has lost over time is the rise of individualistic Christians. I'm very careful about this. I've gone to tens and hundreds of churches, different countries. You ask in any place, do they know the name of my church? They don't know. Because I will not speak. I didn't come to represent GTC. I'm just here to speak Christ. They don't know the name of my church. I will not speak about my church. I said, even if you don't know my name, it is irrelevant. Because individual Christianity is not allowed in the kingdom, because we are one body. Many parts with many functions, but we were raised up together and seated together. The curse of modern day Christianity is everyone is an individual. We don't realize how much the world has gotten. church has lost its power.
Because agreement has to be built on one subject. What is the subject?
Christ gives us the subject. What is that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
And don't worry about all the other things. That I will keep adding to you. As your need arises, I will keep adding. Keep this. Because we have to, first we have to decide what are we going to agree on.
And God gave us a thing. When you are born again, you entered into the kingdom. Agree on the kingdom. Go to Mark chapter 1. Verse 14 and 15.
After John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the Acts chapter 1 verses 2 and 3. Until the day in which he was taken up, that is 40 days after resurrection, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, after being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the, from the beginning till the end, he kept to one subject. Therefore we refuse to speak anything else. We either speak Christ or the kingdom. Nothing else is taught here. So that we can have unity. I'm not talking, teaching here about 6 steps in the world, 4 steps in the world, how to succeed. I'm not here to give you a TED talk. If we have to agree, we have to agree on what he taught from the beginning till the end. The kingdom of God. Because what is coming is the kingdom of God. Why should I repent? Because the kingdom of God is near. Why should I believe? Get into the kingdom of God. Why is it the time is a problem? Because when the 7th trumpet blows, the kingdoms of this world will all become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why is it urgent? Because you don't know the hour of your death. When you die, you stand before the king and you give an account. It's all about the kingdom. This is the topic about on which everything. So what is marriage in a kingdom? What is a man in the kingdom? What's a woman in the kingdom? What's a child in the kingdom? What's an employee in the kingdom? What's a manager in the kingdom? What's a marriage in the kingdom? What is a home in the kingdom? Everything has to agree with the kingdom. And we humble ourselves and repent and align ourselves to that. And what happens is, then when the man and the woman prays, things happen. The man who has aligned with God, he prays. Things happen. Because God said, I found a man in Jesse's house. This is how the kingdom functions. The most important function of their hands is prayer. And we see a nation, a newly birthed nation that has come out of 450 years of slavery in the wilderness. When they are fighting their first battle, their entire victory is dependent upon one man's hand staying up. And it is kept up by two others who align with him. What if Aaron says, I am your elder brother, you sit down there, I will haul the rod. Israel would lose because there is disorder. Understand how it works. Just start preparing 10 days before 2026. There's so many things we can put right, come into God's order. That's why the first question, where are you? Only one man could give an answer to every question God asks in the Bible. Do you know who it is? Jesus. Where are you? Lord, in your perfect will. What have you done? Exactly what you told me. Who told you? You told me. Why are you angry? I'm angry at sin and at the devil. Where is your brother? Here am I. The brother's keeper. What is your name? My name is Yeshua. And all who believe in my name shall be saved. Every answer is only found in him, not in you and me. And faith is living his life, not living your life. And we need to get our prayer closet right. Go to Acts 1:14. This all continued with one accord. We want in prayer. No, in one accord in prayer. 40 days he taught them the subject. Gave them the commandments all about the kingdom. And then they said, wait in Jerusalem. 120 are there in one accord. What are they in one accord about the kingdom? In prayer.
2:1. Oh, on the day of Pentecost came, had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. One accord in one place. Absolutely. One accord in one place. And the Spirit fell. 3,000 got saved. For them to save, they had to receive the word he preached. 40 and 41. The word he preached, he said many words. 2:40 and 41. With many words, what did he say? Testify, exhort them, be saved from this perverse generation. Get out of this world. Do you agree? People still are making up their mind after so many years of life that we need to get out of the world. They did it in one day. They agreed. They gladly received his word, were baptized. They were baptized. They were made one in the waters of baptism. And when they came out, look at the next verse, 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That is how agreement is coming. They're all being taught the same thing. Now you know why there is no disagreement in the church? Because I will preach here 2 hours, and then you will go back and listen to this one on YouTube, that one on YouTube, and this one on YouTube, and that one on YouTube. 4 people speaking 4 different things. And you yourself are disconnected. You don't know whom to believe. That never happened in the history of the church. They all listen to one preacher. Therefore, the whole church could come into agreement. And what they taught was about the kingdom. And when they fellowshipped, their fellowship came out of a doctrine which they all had received. They were being made one. The purpose of fellowship is so that we are aligned. And when there is a disalignment, God put the breaking of bread over there so they would judge themselves. Then only they prayed. Then they prayed. Because now prayer is coming out of alignment and agreement. Do you know what's the next verse? Great fear came upon every soul. The question is this. Why should great fear come upon? This is this reverence for God. Why is this great fear coming upon them? Because we forgot the next verse in Matthew 18:19 we read. I say to you, if 2 of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For wherever 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, I am. It's not just gathered into a name. They are aligned. They are agreed. So what happens? The presence of God comes into men and they are in awe. Because they are in agreement. You think when 2 or 3 gathers in his name, he goes everywhere? He says, they are not in agreement. I can't even go to the house. The husband and wife don't even talk to each other. They don't pray together. How can I go? You have to read what he's talking about. 19 and 20 go together. They have come in agreement. 2 or 3. Now look at Mount Rehoboam. There is 3. And they are one. All you can see is the rod up. They are one on the mountain. One intention. What is the intention? Israel has to win. Israel's God has to be glorified. Think about it. If your prayer is always motivated by this, Christ has to be glorified in my home. That's Jesus' last prayer. Father, I finished the work you gave me and I brought glory to your name. Do you know in his entire walk on earth, Jesus never prayed with anybody? You know why? He couldn't find one person who would align with him under the Father's will. Even when he talked of the cross, they said, don't go. Do you know what happens in verse 44? Understand, look from that perspective. Now all you believed were together and had all things in common. God wrought together in this church what he couldn't do in 100. in Israel's history. They could sing how wonderful it is when brothers dwell in unity. Here is them, living as one. It's not that they didn't have individual homes, but they were one. And then persecution came. Persecution came. The enemy came through the leadership. Sanhedrin. Persecution came. Apostles are called, put in prison, beaten, and they go back. Listen to chapter 4. I love it. Chapter 4. Being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, who's that? The entire group of disciples, when they heard that, they raised their voice to it. Do you know why? Because everyone is aligned to the purpose of God. Nobody will say, "Ayo, no, what will we do? I'm going home. I don't want." Everybody said, "You know what? We are one in this. Let's cry out to God for more power, more boldness to go out and preach again." Everybody has been knit together with one mind, one accord. This is what a church is. Not each one running after their individual dream. One dream of the body, and the dream comes from the head. Let your name be magnified. Let your name be glorified. That's why verse 31 says, God shook the place when they had prayed. The place they were assembled together was shaken. And now read verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed are of one heart and one soul. This is my dream. My dream. It will begin when all the church come to church on a Sunday before time. Then I know the message has gotten. They are listening. They were all gathered in one place, in one accord. Where does it begin? 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Before God can answer your individual prayers, let us come in one accord. You don't align me even with time. Next verse. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because that alignment is releasing the power of God. If two of you agree on anything, it's not two, it's a multitude. Everybody is agreeing. No discord among them. And then verse 34, 35. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as they had need. This is the outworking of it. Because you know what? Now in the individual prayer closet, they are hearing. Thomas hears. The Lord says, "Do you remember that sister Martha who was in the church?" "Yeah, she doesn't have." "So what do you need? What are you keeping these two houses for?" "Oh, I'm making good investments." "No investments, sell it and put it there. Give it to the church." You know where this happens? In all the persecuted churches. They are one. You know what made them one? Persecution made them one. Do you have to wait for persecution to come before you become one? Please understand how the kingdom works. That is what God is saying. I want men everywhere. Commands are given to men. Because God speaks to the men. So it can be implemented in the homes. But for that, what does he tell the men? Love your wives as Christ Jesus loved the church. Because everything you are trying to do for your wife is to make her presentable to me. And what should the wife do? Submit your husband in all things as unto the Lord. You need to understand why he's saying these things. So 1 Timothy 2:8 will again says, "I desire therefore that men pray everywhere." Everywhere men pray. How should they pray? Lifting up holy hands. lifting up holy hands. Without wrath. Why are you angry? Why are you angry with your wife all the time? Men have an issue with anger. See, God knows. In the previous verse, he'll write to women about dressing. The subsequent verse, he'll write to men about anger. Because he knows how we are. So the woman, he says, why are you so worried about what to wear all the time? And tell the men, why are you angry all the time? Because she will always ask, why I don't have anything to wear. We'll deal with that another day. But get these things inside. Devil is not scared of anybody. He's scared of men who align themselves with God. When Jonathan opened his mouth and told his armor bearer, God can save with few or many. Are you with me? He said, I am with you. Finished. Philistines are finished that day because God found two people who aligned with him. But subsequently later, when Israel came and Goliath came, there was nobody. So God sent a man from the wilderness. See, God sends people to the wilderness so they will align with him. Moses aligned with God only in the wilderness. Elijah aligned with God in the wilderness. David came from the wilderness. John the Baptist was kept in the wilderness so that he would not mind, wouldn't be corrupted by the politics of the world. So the word of God had to find John in the wilderness. God took an entire nation into the wilderness thinking they would be one, but they are always thinking the world is like this, the world is like this, the world is like this. We miss the onions. Your breath will stink, fellow. Why are you missing onions? And garlic and leek. I hope you are not missing onions. Thinking about their mindset. So let's stand today. I want before the year is over, I will do my part to get your mind back into the kingdom, align with the king, put his kingdom first, come into God's order, and then see what God will do. Because scripture never changes. He's still looking for a man, a person, whose heart is stayed on him. Shall we pray? Father, this morning we come to you. We come to you, faithful God, gracious God, loving Father. You have written all this because you desire our success more than we ourselves do. Our victory more than we ourselves do. You are looking first for a man whose heart is one, his mind is one with God. He is looking for a home where a man and a woman are one with God. He's looking for a family where the whole family is one with God. So that you can be in their midst. So they can always experience the presence of God in their home. And when you come, you bring peace. You bring joy. You bring blessings. And I pray, Father, that would be the paramount desire in every heart. That we will strive for the things of God. To that end, Father, I commit the whole church, ourselves. We are one body. Many parts, one body. When one part hurts, the whole body hurts. But so many parts are so insensitive, cut away from the head, that they have no clue what's happening. Pray we will fight this good fight. It's a good fight. It's worth it. Be with us through these days, the last 10 days. Prepare us. You have already gone before us into 2026. Before us. But all that you have for us, help us to by faith possess it. Like he told you, Israel, the land is before you. I give it to you. Go possess it. The year is before us. 2026 is just before us. And God has reserved blessings in time. Pray our hearts and minds will align to your will. to that end, we commit ourselves. We give you the glory, the honor, the power, the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, the blood of the Passover Lamb is applied to the door of my life. No power of darkness could ever withstand the force of the blood.